Access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Good evening, Vancouver. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. This is the UBC Happy Hour, a show that is all about what's happening on UBC's campus. This show is produced by the UBC Affairs Collective. If you like what you hear and you'd like to help make this show, or if there's something you would like to see covered on the show, send an email to ubcaffairs@citr.ca. I'm Sadie Lai.
I'm Amy Shandro.
And I'm Alex Lenz.
So we have an awesome show, starting with a live arts update with Amy. And then we have an interview with Alan Richardson and UBC Happy Hour contributor, Julia. And the band Gentle Minds is joining us for a live interview a little later on.
Yeah, so Amy's finally here live. Normally she does her bit pre-recorded, so this is like super exciting.
I'm very excited, yes.
And she's also wearing like a really bright red sweater.
I would say it's orange, but agree to disagree.
It's orange.
We were debating this. Yeah, maybe it is blood orange. Maybe it is.
That's what I feel. I don't know.
Not quite blood orange. Like a dark traffic cone shade.
Actually, while we were waiting to go on, I was thinking, you know when like the sun's shining really brightly and you close your eyes and it's like the orange on your eyelids?
Ooh, yeah.
It's like that, but like more.
Wow. Okay. That was a really full-on description and I loved it. So Amy, what's happening this week on campus? Or next week, I guess.
Yeah. So in the coming week. So starting tomorrow, yes, Saturday, November 25th, the UBC Photographic Society, they're having a light painting photo walk. So I don't know if we did this in like middle school, but you know when you get sparklers and you like write words with them or like a heart?
Ooh, so fun.
Yeah, so that's light painting. And so the Photographic Society, they're going to do a workshop teaching you how to do that like with professional photography. And so they're going to meet at 5 p.m. at the Photographic Society office, and then they're going to head to a secret location in the Pacific Spirit Park to go and learn that. Sounds really, really cool.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I want to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the secrecy around it. It's free for members, and otherwise it's $5 for students and $8 for non-students. Tomorrow on the 25th, Sound Circus is happening. So Blank Vinyl Project, they're putting on, it's like a circus-themed music event. So featuring UBC bands, Glen Eagle, The Cut Losses, The Strange, and Gentle Mind, who we will be having an interview with later. Very exciting. And it's ending the night with the UBC DJ Most Wanted. Also happening, there'll be a photo booth there, magicians, because it's circus-themed. I think that's really
yes.
Cool. Oh, my God. I was, like, mesmerized by this guy doing, like, card tricks the other day. Like, I was at this bar, and he was, like, doing, you know, like I can pull a card out of, like, behind your ear kind of thing. Yeah. And I was like, whoa! And I was so into it. Like, I'm so one to be impressed by magicians.
Yeah.
So this sounds cool.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's also free popcorn, cotton candy, and glow sticks. So good circus theme there.
Yeah, I should also say, so we're actually doing a ticket giveaway to Sound Circus on this episode. So basically how we're going to do it is throughout the show, you, the listener, can send us an email to ubcaffairs@citr.ca. So in the subject line, just put Sound Circus. And then in the body of your email, just name the weirdest band name you've ever heard and like what genre they played. And then we're going to judge to see who sends us the best answer. And then whoever wins will get 2 free tickets. So send us in your emails. Hopefully we should know by the end of the episode. But if you email us, you will get a reply back. So yeah, that's happening right now.
So that event is in the Abdul Lada Science Center. Doors at 7. Live music starts at 8. If you don't win the free tickets, it's $5 for non-members and $5 for members and $10 for non-members. And it is 19 plus, so bring your ID. Next event happening Tuesday, November 28th. There's a holiday crafts night going on, and it's a joint event from the Botany Enthusiast Club and the Print Club. So you get to make plant-related crafts. So there's pine cone elves and pine cone owls. And there's also hanging jellyfish decorations that include the air plants. So I've always wanted an air plant, and so to get it jellyfish themed, I think that's really nice.
I agree.
Yeah. So that's from 5 to 7 in Buchanan D 304. It's $3 per pine cone craft, and the jellyfish is $5 for members, $8 for non-members. Next Wednesday, November 29th, there's Unlimited Dance Club is having their workshop on popping. So if you've always wanted to learn how to pop and lock, I guess. Simba Wang, who's apparently an expert in it, is going to be teaching that workshop. It's in room 2301 in the Nest from 5 to 6:30, and it's $5 for members, $8 for non-members. Also on Wednesday, Jazz for the Holidays is happening. So it's the UBC Jazz Cafe Club. So there'll be a night of jazz lounge music and also holiday classics, board games, light snacks, refreshments, and desserts. They say bring your own mug for hot chocolate and marshmallows. And there'll be a jam session towards the end, and also gingerbread house decorating. So you get some holiday cheer before finals happens. That's in the Great Hall North in the Nest from 6 to 9, free for members and $3 for non-members. Thursday, November 30th, musical theater troupe is watching Heathers, the movie. So they'll be doing...
Classic. Love that movie. Great. Yep.
So yeah, the musical theater troupe, they just finished the original production Before We Go. And so for their next production, it's in the spring, and it will be Heathers the Musical. So now you can go see the movie with them, understand the plot, the vibe, and then later in the spring, go see their own production of it.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah. So that's in Irving K. Barber Center, room 182. Doors at 6, movie at 6:30, and admission is by donation. So whatever you can give, just give. Then finally, next Friday, December 1st, there's a holiday mashup going on. So it's UBC Music Initiative, Shine On Music, and Heart of the City Piano Program, Vancouver. They're hosting the year-end social holiday mashup. So it's an evening of music, games, and food. So just immerse yourself in holiday magic. There'll be an open mic and jam session at the end as well. So bring your own instruments if you're interested in doing that. It's at 6:30 in Great Hall South of the Nest. General tickets are $8 and members are $4. And they actually have a dress code, just business casual, which I think that makes things easier. If you just have a dress code, you know how to dress and
none of the lingering, like, what am I going to wear? Yeah. Am I too dressed up? Like, what?
Mm-hmm. So I like that. And then also Friday, December 1st, it's the semester end UBC improv show. The official title is Elf's Santa Claus Reindeer of Die Hard 3 Presents UBC Improv. That's what it is on Facebook. It's a holiday show, so we're going to be taking every single holiday trope, every movie, making improv out of it. It's going to be a family romantic action adventure comedy improv show. Again, in Neville Scarf 100, doors at 6:30, show at 7, and $3 for tickets at the door. It'll be really fun. I'll be there.
Amazing. Okay, so thanks so much for that, Amy. So we're going to dive right into Julia Ferry did an interview with a professor at UBC, Alan Richardson. He is a member of the working group that's looking at freedom of speech on campus. So she's talking to him. So let's hear that. And then when we come back, we're going to be in studio with Gentle Mind. So here we go.
Could you just give an introduction of yourself?
Well, I am Alan Richardson. I'm a member of the Department of Philosophy and the Science and Technology Studies graduate program in the Faculty of Arts, and I've been here for over 20 years. And I work on history and philosophy of science and the history of philosophy, and I'm particularly interested in the relations between the history of science and the history of philosophy. I have been a member of the working group at on freedom of expression that Neil Guppy put together, just as, he asked some of us to do it, and we said yes, because it's part of our responsibility towards the institution to help it understand itself.
Okay. And what was your push to actually accept being part of the working group? Were there specific events or...
As the motivation?
Yeah, the motivation,
day?
Yes.
I do think that it's pretty obvious that if you're thinking about freedom of expression at university campuses these days, there were and continue to be events that were relevant. You know, the kerfuffle at Berkeley about Milo, whatever his last name is, and obviously the Charlottesville rally. And, you know, and then Richard Spencer in various university campuses, and then there's, of course, the larger issues of things like whatever's happening in Turkey with respect to academic freedom and things like that, which I really don't understand, and whatever's happening in Hungary with respect to the Central European University.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on that, just for people who don't know exactly what's going on? What
In the case, there seems to be a push in various parts of the world to put political pressure on campuses to behave in certain ways. So as far as I understand it, the rather right-wing government of Hungary is putting pressure on the Central European University, which has a particular understanding of itself and a particular mission, to somehow become more connected to what they, the government, think a university should be doing. So there's all sorts of things that are happening that look like their efforts to shut the university down. In the case of Turkey, it's just, you know, after the alleged coup was stopped, there's just been this massive arrest of a whole bunch of people, including hundreds of academics, which does seem, again, to be putting pressure on various institutions inside the Turkish nation to comport themselves in particular ways, which might very well not be the ways that academics would prefer to see their institutions running.
Most definitely. And I guess for students who are navigating through this idea of freedom of expression, what would be some important things to think about, I guess, when you're now going through the internet or speaking about possibly ideas that might not have so much support, or the other way around where there is a lot of support?
Well, I don't know in general. I mean, people can go on Facebook and Twitter and say whatever they want. A student thinking of himself or herself or themselves as members of an academic community need to bear in mind what it is that academic communities are for, which is we're for the creation and transference and preservation of knowledge. And for that reason, thinking of just having a conception of freedom of expression, which simply amounts to I am allowed to say whatever I believe, doesn't seem to me the most relevant conception of what freedom of expression is or is for in a university setting. When we have discussions in philosophy classes, it isn't so that everybody has a chance to say what they believe. It's so that we can get as many relevant contributions on the table to begin to sort out the reasons why somebody might rationally believe something. So we're trying to get to the truth. We're not trying to give people a platform so that they can feel like they were able to express themselves.
So two questions I'm thinking of that are going to branch off into different wormholes, I guess. So let's start with the first one. And I guess I was reading your blog about in Commentaria about your interpretation and how you would write the statement. And you were explaining how there is a balance of the Charter of Rights and how it's not just the freedom of expression, it's the freedom of religion, the freedom of press, and so on. Freedom of language, I think, was another one. I guess there was also one key right to equity and to be able to live in a community of respect. I was just wondering how you would see a respectful community and a community having respectful dialogue so that that balance between equity and freedom of expression could be achieved.
I think that given that what we're trying to do at institutions like this one is come to know things, trying to get to the truth, I do believe that equity isn't just a sort of other issue. I think it's there. It's functional for us. It helps us get to the truth if everyone is able to participate. And that's especially true in the sorts of issues that we deal with in humanities and social science. But it's true across the board. So it isn't, I don't think it's really a question of balancing. It's a question of understanding what are the conditions under which we are best able to get to the truth. And there's a way in which we find ourselves puzzled by things that we solve every day. That is to say, when we have, as we often do in philosophy courses, complicated discussions of things where opinions deeply divide, we, in our discussions, in our courses where we're doing this, is we are very careful to say what it is we're doing and what it is we're not doing, and how we have to set it up so that people don't get marginalized. We don't, to say in a course where you're talking about abortion rights, if somebody were to say, Julia just said that, but she's a woman and therefore we don't have to listen to her because what do they know? That person is not respecting the academic community as such in saying that and should be called out for that. Right? Mm-hmm. We are all here as people who've already been admitted into this community, and we can't be marginalized here, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we do this all the time. I mean, we're very careful because we do deal with controversial issues all the time in philosophy to say, here's what it is we're trying to do. We know we're going to talk about this this article, which is arguing, say, for abortion rights, not in order to say you should believe this, but to say what is the argument? What is it, a good argument? Is this a rational reason to change your opinion if you have a different opinion? What's the weaknesses of this argument? It's to say, because these are the skills that it takes to actually understand what it is we're doing here, namely trying to understand what the answer is.
I'm just wondering, with just the statement that you made, well, as an example, to be, Julia says that we should have abortion, but she's a woman, kind of thing. If it was the other way around, where someone said, a man says, I want abortion, but then that man was said, he's a man, so he doesn't know what he's talking about. Having these very specific categories of who is most related to an issue that's spoken about? I guess, I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. It is a difficult question. And again, it's not a question where there's a sort of algorithm that determines this, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes, I do think we should be sensitive to voices that have been marginalized and sometimes marginalized for hundreds of years on particular topics. that doesn't mean that anyone is ruled out from having something relevant to say on a topic just because of who they happen to be. But it does mean, you know, that we do have to understand that we are participating in a conversation that certainly in philosophy has been going on for thousands of years. And, you know, as it happens, people like me have been dominating that conversation, and maybe, and it's, you know, sad for us that we happen to be the white men who are available now, but it's time for us to listen, right? So, not because we have nothing left to say, but because it's time for other voices to be heard. I think that we do try to be nuanced about these things, and we're fairly successful in it, in the way we actually run our courses. I hope we are. We seem to be. And it doesn't become this sort of Twitter, Facebook version of some people shouting at each other, right? Because, you know, people do understand that there's a project here that we're supposed to have together. I don't know if that was a helpful answer, but I...
No, that definitely does help, because, you know, there's always a backlash when different voices are being heard, because people have 2 ears and that's about it, and one brain to listen. I'm going to go jump onto the other wormhole. My question had to do with Thomas Kuhn and the idea of paradigms, I guess. Before we jump into speaking about him, do you think you could give a interaction you've had with his readings and where you stand on that, what he speaks about?
Yes. So Thomas Kuhn, famously the author of The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, is trying to give an account of how science progresses, which is different from a sort of standard accounts. In fact, he's very much arguing against what he calls in 1962 the image of science by which we are possessed, which is a sort of, it's just a sort of cumulative, we add this fact today and then we'll add another fact tomorrow and another fact after that. He's interested in conceptual structures and the ways in which conceptual structures and particular pieces of exemplary scientific work, as he says in another book, the Copernican Revolution, bind the imagination of scientists, so that when Newton writes Principia Mathematica in 1686, it's an achievement which teaches people how to be physicists, because it both solves problems that physics had and suggests new problems that physics can now look into.
So in some sense, he's saying that there's agreed set of rules or frameworks that exist, and by giving those to scientists, they can reach greater creative heights. I was thinking about that because I feel that freedom of expression, it's very much applicable to our paradigm that we're existing in today, and there's a lot of people like to call it postmodernism. I guess, are there specific types of questions that are appropriate to ask and some that shouldn't be asked whatsoever or avoided being asked?
Well, the thing about Kuhn says, here's something that happened. In the late 17th century, Newton did this thing which converted physics from what it was to what it now is going to be for the next 200 odd years. And it is true that once you do that, certain questions that were open questions or were interesting questions just stop being the relevant questions to ask, or the relevant ways to ask those questions. So it is connected very much with this question of what are the limits of the freedom of expression. I don't know what exactly postmodernism amounts to, or if we're in it or not. I do think that a number of fields, each field has its own, each discipline has its own set of open questions, and the reason, and it has historical reasons as to why those questions are the open questions. And I do think that That means that in any given field, certain issues that you might, as just as a human being, want to have addressed are not going to be addressed by that field. What the reason why we don't have a university of physics or a university of philosophy is the hope that in a whole arena of all of the many disciplines, and UBC is in the BC University Act charged with teaching everything except theology, every aspect of human knowledge except theology, that you will find some place where any sensible question could be asked. But it won't always be in the same courses. You know, you cannot expect your physics professor to listen to your objections to relativity theory.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think about how it's really important to have interdisciplinary courses, I guess. But unfortunately, it seems like at UBC, the different departments are quite separate. What do you reckon could happen? I feel like it would be really important to have conversations between departments.
It is important to have conversations between departments, and conversations just among people who are at UBC, regardless of what they're studying or what they teach. So I think that is a problem at this institution and at many others in the current day and age, is we have become hyper-professionalized and hyper, therefore, compartmentalized, and everything, you know, at UBC does go through the departments. I spent myself something close to 20 years trying to get the Science and Technology Studies graduate program. But those things are few and far between, and there's all sorts of institutional reasons why that is so. But it does sort of reify certain ways of investigating the world as the central core important ones, and it also atomizes the university in a way that is antithetical to it being a university. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be nice if we could have some structure, you know, a nice structure that, of course, not everybody can do, is the sort of Oxbridge model of colleges, where you have the thing you're studying, but you also are associated with a college, and anybody who's studying anything in the university might be eating dinner next to you. I mean, we have a few of those things at the graduate level, Green College, St. John's College, but that is really something that barely happens in this institution and many universities, because everybody's chasing their next publication and their next grant proposal, and and students, you know, at this university are often rushing to take their 2-hour bus ride back to where they can afford to live. Mm-hmm. So it makes it a very different sort of institution in that way. On the other hand, you know, it's part of being in a major city and in the 21st century that there's an awful lot of things that you could do. So it's not a bad thing if our students are going downtown to do cultural events or whatever.
So. I'm going back to, because we digress, but I really enjoy it, with the freedom of expression, I guess. I see on the news of vandalism that's going on these days, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you read about the Remembrance Day vandalism that happened in the War Memorial Gym, where it was a poster, I guess, lauding the Nazis in World War. I guess it seems like there are a lot of these covert actions that mm-hmm. are happening mm-hmm. because, and what I interpret that as is not having that platform to come and speak about other things. So then they say, oh, okay, well, if we can't speak out loud, then we'll be faceless, anonymous people showing that there is this opinion there. So I guess thinking about how the university should handle situations like that, do you find it wise to just, if those people were found, to expel them out of school?
I don't think there's... None of UBC's policies are written so that if one person does one thing, they get kicked out. even things like these very central things like academic misconduct, perforce, the policies are written in a rather vague way and it requires interpretation. I don't think that in general the best thing to do when people are engaged in actions which I do believe are deeply antithetical to what it is we're doing here. And if you know anything about Nazism, you will understand that Nazis are not friends of universities. Universities basically can't operate under fascism as places where truth can be discovered because the truth has already been imposed upon them as conceived by the regime. So I would much prefer that the community expresses why this is not appropriate forms of speech when those things happen. And, you know, not to toss people out unless they're, you know, incorrigible and dangerous, but rather to try to work. This is an educational institution. There's no reason why 18-year-olds who are coming here know anything deep about the history of fascism, but they can find out. We have experts here. And they can find out why this isn't just a lark. This is not just some fun thing you do, which maybe, who knows what the motivations of these people were. You know, we're going to tweak everybody's nose by doing this, or it's a fundamental feature of our lives that we are fascists. Who knows? You know, I don't know who they are. I don't know anybody. I don't know if anybody knows who they are. So, by and large, it's not a good idea to view any of these policies as, you know, one strike and you're out, or if you do this, you are banished, but rather as these are attempts to tell you the contours of the community that you have now joined as a student or as a faculty member. And if you've run afoul of this, we're going to tell you that, but we're not gonna put you on the next boat out of here. You know, we're not gonna launch you off at the end of the point and say, we have nothing to do with you ever again. Mm-hmm. We try to be humane, and hopefully being humane will help anyone who feels unhappy also to feel humane.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Come and feel our positive energy at Falun Dafa Fellowship. Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong, is an ancient spiritual discipline based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. It's a self-cultivation practice that improves mental and physical wellness through meditation and simple exercises. It's been well documented to improve mind and body, relieve stress and anxiety, increase energy and vitality, and promote morality and spirituality. Why not give yourself a chance to learn free of charge? To learn more, please visit our website at falundafafellowship.com.
Ever heard of Pitch Perfect? UBC a cappella can sing on harmony in cue. Made up of 100 members across four choirs, the student-led club regularly performs on and off campus. Check out UBC a cappella on Facebook for more information regarding their Aka Amazing end-of-term concerts.
My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Thursday night only, Thunderbird Radio Hell.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jay, how's it going?
All right, I guess.
I didn't think I would bump into you in the street.
No, usually on Thursday nights I'm listening to Thunderbird Radio Hell.
So am I.
Yeah, usually the radio has a show on at 9 p.m. to 11.
9 p.m. to 11 p.m., that's right.
It's a pretty good show.
Is that the show with the live bands?
Yeah, it sounds like there's talking between the band and the guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Interview with bands while they're still alive.
I'll check it out.
Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Okay, we are back on UBC Happy Hour. I'm Alex Lenz, and you just heard Julia Ferry interview Alan Richardson about free speech on campus. And just a reminder, we're doing a ticket giveaway for Sound Circus. So send an email to ubcaffairs@citr.ca with the subject line Sound Circus, and then in the body of it, the weirdest band name you've ever heard. And then you could possibly win 2 free tickets to Sound Circus happening tomorrow night. So we are joined now live with Gentlemind. Hey guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Who are you guys? What are you doing in our studio?
So we're a UBC band. We formed last year, around a year ago actually, like almost on the dot, through Blank Vinyl Project. So we're a 4-piece band.
There's only 2 of us here right now though.
Yeah. Because
we're missing our other half.
Our other half sucks. They couldn't make it.
Nice. So, yeah, we're with Cam and Michael from Gentle Mind. So, yeah, how did you guys come to be? I understand that you guys met through Blank Vinyl Project, which is a music club on campus. But could you elaborate a little bit on kind of your conception of your band?
Yeah, so around this time last year, we both separately like attended this Build-A-Band Mixer, which BVP kind of ran. So it was right here in the Nest, above the egg there, and basically just a bunch of people came together, and the whole idea was to just mingle with musicians and try and meet people to play music with. And so I was lucky enough to meet Camille, and when our whole band started there was about like 8 of us, and we just started jamming together, and then slowly but surely kind of went down to the 4 of us that are now. And yeah, we were really lucky.
Definitely, yeah, because I don't think I mean, considering the how we met, I think we're a pretty successful band in the sense that we're still playing. I don't think that happens often. Yeah.
You guys don't have like a horror story of like, you know, a breakup like a month in.
No, exactly. Like, I think we've somehow found each other in a very like organic way. And I guess, I don't know, I think the universe really wanted us to meet. And that's what it feels like.
Awesome. What type of music do you guys write and play?
It's kind of like R&B rock. Some call us neo-soul, which is an expression I really like.
Yeah, same.
yeah, we all have very different musical backgrounds. Michael's really like into rock. I guess that's how you started playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, classic rock.
And then I have a pretty like blues soul voice, and our bassist is really into R&B. And we have a drummer who's, you know, a jazz drummer, so it's a pretty cool mix.
Awesome. Is that like a big part of your band, is kind of blending different genres, would you say? Or
I would say so.
Yeah, I think so. I think like when we first started like making stuff, I personally couldn't really categorize it, and so I feel like just whatever music came out was just happened to be a blend of what we all brought to the table, which is pretty sweet.
Exactly. And it kind of ended up forming a sound pretty quickly, which I'm happy with. We didn't have to like really think it through, like, oh, what do we want to sound like? I don't think we've ever really asked ourselves that question. It kind of just happened.
Cool. So you guys are playing at Sound Circus tomorrow. So is this kind of, do you normally play more for a UBC audience or like a non-UBC audience? And like, how is it kind of different playing for different audiences?
I think lately it's kind of been, or like up until now, it's kind of been about half and half. Like, we definitely started playing mostly for UBC because obviously we started our band at UBC, but more recently we've been lucky to get like more gigs downtown. Lately we've been playing a few gigs at the Railway Club. We played at Portside downtown, And yeah, so we've been going around a little bit, and I'd say there isn't really too much of a difference, at least for me. Like the people that come to the show are just people, so like it doesn't really make a big difference. Everyone that comes usually like enjoys the music, so as long as people are having a good time, doesn't really make a big difference to
me. Yeah, and we're lucky enough to have like a lot of BVP members and execs come out to our shows, even if they're not like UBC related shows. Like the community really follows us, and it's super fun. Obviously, like these guys are all our friends, and they're very supportive. But yeah, I think we want to start playing, you know, shows in front of like strangers, because you have to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Or like playing in front of like three people and like, you know, in empty rooms. I think that's something that we're going to eventually like dig into as we progress. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
What has been your favorite venue to play at so far?
Railway Club for me.
Yeah, for sure the Railway. We had our like best performance there a few weeks ago. We're taking part in Best in Vancouver, which is a competition held by Live Act. And Nimbus is also a partner. And yeah, this was just so much fun. Like the energy in the room was like palpable. It was so cool. Yeah.
What's the difference playing for like a very much student crowd versus like just Vancouverites coming to your show? Is there like a different vibe?
There's more weirdos in a Vancouver show. Yeah. Like, you know, like on Tuesday. So we played the Railway on Tuesday, and this lady, who bless her, she was probably so hammered, comes up like mid song, you know, like just like a few inches from the stage, and she's just like dancing, and she looks like she's having the time of her life. And then she just starts talking to me, and I had to start a conversation with her on stage. It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever had to do. But yeah, you see less of that at UBC, definitely. Yeah.
Oh my God, I will be at the show tomorrow, like attempting to have a conversation with you and be like
reenacting.
It
the
does
old
happen.
Lady scene.
Yeah,
please do. It keeps her on her toes.
That's awesome. I was gonna say, like, I imagine like playing for like Vancouver versus studio or student audience is like Vancouver general population, like people will actually be able to like afford to buy drinks, when like student venues it's like people with like their flask and like their beers that they like smuggled into the show.
It does
like
get rowdy when it's in front of other people.
Yeah, true.
Or like depending on what other bands are on the bill that night, like, you know, like we've played shows with bands that are older, and then their friends come and they're all like in their 30s and early 40s, and they're all so drunk, like screaming. So yeah, I guess we really like to feed off the different energies that we get from crowds. So it's fun to have like different types of people to play in front of.
Yeah.
How is it managing like being in a band with being a full-time student?
It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard. Very hard.
I guess for me, the most frustrating thing is having to keep being in school. Like, it was so tempting to just... I think we have this conversation, like, every day. Like, what would happen if we would just drop out and do music full-time? But it's probably not the most reasonable thing to do. So I guess that's why we're just waiting to graduate. Yeah.
So what do you guys study?
I'm studying creative writing.
And then I'm studying cognitive systems.
Are you guys like pretty close to graduation or a few more years
yeah,
ahead?
Yeah, I am. Okay. I'm like a year and a half away.
Yeah, I probably got like 2 years to go, something like that.
Mm. Yeah, so like might as well at this point, right?
Yeah. And it like obviously it's a, you know, future thinking, like, you know, mentality being in school. But yeah, I imagine there are so many constraints, and it's like you're already trying to like manage school and like maybe a job and other things, and then like the band is like your soul. And
exactly,
like,
and it's funny because like, yeah, you find yourself having like a double life. Like I feel like Hannah Montana. it's like I'm in class in the morning, and I just can't even think straight because I'm so hungover from like the show, like, or you know. It's so funny because, like, you'll walk into the dressing room and Toby, your bassist, who's in computer science, he's literally just, like, doing coding in the dressing room. Like, he's got his laptop out and he's, like, doing math or whatever. And, like, it's pretty hectic. It's a grind. Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Cody.
Yeah.
Toby. Okay, that sounds like a real trooper.
Yeah, he is.
For sure.
Yeah.
He always insists on taking a full course load, and I just don't know why he... like imposes that on himself. It's like it's a lot.
That's intense. Do you think that the UBC environment is conducive to like young musicians? And like maybe you guys mentioned like you met through BBP. So what are some resources that students can use who are like young musicians on campus?
I think definitely BVP is the place to be. Like, if it weren't for this club, I probably wouldn't have kept studying in Vancouver. I probably would have gone back home to Montreal. It's a really eclectic club, and I think the events they host, well, the events that we host, I mean, they're pretty easy to get into. It's just a matter of, like going out and doing it, yeah.
And there's the Jazz Cafe, too, which you said you went to a couple of events, right?
Yeah, I went to a few events, and I love UBC Jazz Cafe. It's really great, full of very talented musicians. Yeah, that's also a really good way to meet people if you're into jazz.
And then I've heard, like, about Rappers Without Borders, which is another kind of group of people that get together.
Yeah, we have a few friends in that club and really awesome people, for sure. Yeah, I don't think there's enough, like, there's not enough of, like, a hip-hop rap scene, I find, on mm-hmm. campus. And I'd like to see that grow, yeah.
Nice. I forgot what I was going to ask. Oh, yeah, really quickly. So you guys are in this kind of Build-A-Band, or you guys host the Build-A-Band at BVP. So do you want to just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we took it under our wing after we went through the process. And it's a really great way to meet musicians. So the way we work is we have a mixer at the start of every term. And then people get to, like, talk to each other, hopefully form a band by the end of the night, just by, like, taking a leap of faith and promising that you will jam with these people and then eventually maybe form an actual band with them. And in March, we have Band Wars, which is where all of the Build-A-Band bands compete against each other. So it's cool because it's all newcomers, all new bands that, you know, have the same level of experience. So, yeah, I think it's a really good way to meet musicians on campus. I don't know what I would have done without it.
That's awesome. So we are going to close the show with a track of yours. So do you guys want to introduce this song? And this is a little taste for what you might hear at Sound Circus tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So the song you're about to hear is Untangled. It's one of the first few songs that we ever wrote. And we're releasing it as a single soon on December 8th. You can find it across like a whole bunch of streaming platforms.
Yeah, we'll be on Spotify, iTunes, I think. Is the two we decided on.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So thank you all for tuning in to UBC Happy Hour on November 24th. We were broadcasting from unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here at CITR 101.9 FM. You can always send us an email at ubcaffairs@citr if you want to get involved with the show or if you want to see something on campus be covered. And here is Gentle Minds' track.
Sweetheart, I'm not one to play with foolish hearts, but you sat there so quiet, it was all that I could do. But talk until you looked me in the eyes. I came off a bit dry, you were all over my brain. It's all the same to me, I was caught up in little things that don't matter. You untangled them, baby. You slow down the clocks when they're ticking too hasty. And oh, I'm wide awake in my torpor. My fears I can no longer harbor. Be my yes, no's, and maybes. Be yours, I promise. Together's all we can be. Phone. I spent all of my energy on looking my best, but boy, you really couldn't care less, could ya? I doubt you ask your ass my skin in search of my every flaw. And I was caught up in little things that don't matter.
Too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power science world for over 75 years. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.